ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्दे अहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवम्। साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 9 आंसर्स बाय साइटिंग द लॉर्ड्स वर्शन टेक्स्ट 2। बहु रूप इवा भाति मायाया बहु रूपया मम मान गुणेशस्य ममाहमिति मन्नते। Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord while enjoying in the modes of material nature. The encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. Please repeat after me. The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord while enjoying in the modes of material nature. The encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. purport by Srila Prabhupada. The different forms of the living entities are different dresses offered by the illusory external energy of the Lord according to the modes of nature. According to the modes of nature, the living being desires to enjoy. The external material energy is represented by her three modes, namely goodness, passion and ignorance. So even in the material nature, there is a chance of an independent choice by the living entity. And according to his choice, the material energy offers him different varieties of material bodies. There are 900,000 varieties of material bodies in the water, 2 million vegetable bodies, 1,100,000 worms and reptiles, 1 million forms of birds, 3 million different bodies of beasts, and 400,000 human beings. Altogether, there are 8,400,000 varieties of bodies in different planets of the universe. And the living entity is traveling by so many transmigration according to different modes of enjoying spirit within himself. Even in one particular body, the living entity changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, from youth to old age, and from old age to another body created by his own action. The living entity creates his own body by his personal desires, and the external energy of the Lord supplies him the exact form by which he can enjoy his desires to the fullest extent. The tiger wanted to enjoy the blood of another animal, and therefore, by the grace of the Lord, the material energy supplied him with the body of the tiger with the facilities for enjoying blood from another animal. Similarly, a living entity desiring to get the body of a demigod in a higher planet can also get it by the grace of the Lord. And if he is intelligent enough, he can desire to get a spiritual body to enjoy the company of the Lord, and he will get it. So the minute freedom of the living entity can be fully utilized, and the Lord is so kind that he will award the living entity the same type of body he desires. The living entity's desiring is like dreaming of a golden mountain. A person knows what a mountain is, and he knows also what gold is. Out of his desire only, he dreams of a golden mountain, and when the dream is over, he sees something else in his presence. He finds in his awakened state that there is neither gold nor a mountain. And what to speak of a golden mountain? The different positions of the living entities in the material world under the multifarious manifestations of bodies are due to the misconception of mine and I. The karmi thinks of his world as mine, and the jnani thinks I am everything. The whole material conception of politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, etc., conceived by the conditioned souls, is on the basis of this misconceived I and mine, which are products of strong desire to enjoy material life. Identification with the body and the place where the body is obtained under different conditions of socialism, nationalism, family affection, and so on and so forth, is all due to forgetfulness of the real nature of the living entity, and the whole misconception of the bewildered living entity can be removed by the association of Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, as all this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How many languages is being translated? Four? What are the four languages?
German, Italian, Yugoslavian, and French.
Oh, okay. That's nice. That's a real advancement. Huh? Yeah, English is the original Srila Prabhupada's language. Yes. So, Bohu Rupa Iba Bhati Mayaya Bohu Rupaya Ramo Mano Guneshasha Mama Hamiti Mannate. So, the living entity's bondage in this material nature is further explained here. Sukadev Goswami is answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadev Goswami how the living entity, in spite of being a spiritual being, becomes entangled in the material nature. The living entities are spiritual beings. They belong to the spiritual nature. But unfortunately, they have fallen into this material nature and they became bound. They became conditioned. They become tied down to this material nature. So what is the cause? And Sukadev Goswami is explaining gradually the causes of a living entity's fall down. Yesterday we discussed that the initial cause of living entities fall down is his desire to lord over this material nature. The living entity's desire to become the Lord, to become Krishna. When the living entity wants to become Krishna, wants to become the Lord, actually the Lord is Krishna. Krishna is the Lord. Akole Ishar Krishna Ar Shab Bhritta. Only Krishna is Lord and everyone else is his servant. Everyone else is his servant. But when the servant wants to become the master, when the servant wants to become the Lord, then the very merciful Lord actually allows the servant to become the Lord. But the servant cannot become the Lord in the master's house. A living entity cannot become the Lord in the spiritual sky. The living entity can become the Lord in the illusory energy of the Lord, in the illusory nature, the material nature of the Lord. That also we discussed yesterday, how for the sake of living entities' desire to enjoy like Krishna, Krishna created this material nature and Krishna is giving the living entities a chance to enjoy like Krishna. But unfortunately, the more the living entity tries to enjoy like Krishna, instead of enjoying, he becomes miserable. Living entities wanted to become like Krishna in order to become happy, in order to enjoy. But when he tries to become Krishna, he becomes miserable. It's like the child is happy being a child. The child is actually, child can be so, actually everyone in his childhood is so happy because the child is taken care of by everybody, especially by the parents. But if the child wants to become the father, if the child thinks, oh, I will become like father, and if he gets a chance to become the father, then what will happen to the child? He'll become miserable. He'll have to think of earning money, he'll have to think of paying the bills, he has to take care of everything, and as a child, he doesn't have the resources, he doesn't have the ability. So the child cannot actually become the father. As a child, he should be the child. And as a child, he is happy. The father gives him candies, his uncle gives him gulab jamuns, and simply wonderfuls. And so everything is supplied to him by his superiors. And everyone is taking care of him. If there is any problem with the child, everyone comes to take care of the child. But if the child wants to become the father, if the child says, okay, I don't want anybody to take care of me, I will take care of everybody else. I'll take care of myself and I'll take care of anyone who wants to be subordinate to me. Then what happens? The child becomes naturally
becomes miserable.
There is a small story in that respect. Like, one man wanted to become God. Actually, everyone wants to become God. And Krishna said, okay, if you want to become God, I will allow you to become God. He thought that becoming God, he will enjoy so much. And Krishna wanted to fulfill his desire. Krishna said, okay, you become God. So he actually got the position of Krishna, he became God. And as soon as he became God, then he found that everyone is asking him, give me this, give me that. The whole world is crying. The whole world is demanding, give me this, give me that. Everyone is asking. And he found that it was so difficult to fulfill everyone's desire. So he told Krishna, Krishna, I don't want to become God. I just want to become as I was. So the living entity's desire to become God is actually the cause of his misery. Living entities can be so happy being a servant of Krishna. If a living entity just becomes a servant of Krishna, then everything is taken care of. Like in ISKCON, we feel that way. We don't actually have to worry about where the money will come. Of course, the leaders have to worry about that. But then also, the leaders see that things come without even knowing where it comes from. Guru Shakti Prabhu, will you confirm my statement? Yeah?
We know from where it comes.
Yeah, but sometimes we don't even know where it comes. It seems some apparent reasons that there is some person coming and giving the money. But actually, there is no way of knowing where it comes from. And that's the advantage of becoming a devotee of Krishna. Everything is supplied. We don't have to worry like the karmis. Can you imagine how much anxiety the karmis have? Like they have to constantly struggle to earn the money to maintain themselves. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, everything is taken care of. We don't have to worry so much. Of course, the householders have to worry to some extent to maintain themselves. But the brahmacharis, vanaprasthis and sannyasis are taken care of. Brahmacharis don't worry. Actually, we can see our needs are so little. What do we actually need? We need a little food, right? And we need a place to sleep. And there is no scarcity of that by Krishna's mercy. But if we don't do that, that has been explained here. If somebody wants to become like Krishna, if somebody wants to enjoy like Krishna, then he has to make so many endeavors. And these endeavors are manifested in the form of different material bodies. Actually, the living entity, the spirit soul, according to his desire, he develops a kind of subtle body. The subtle body is made of mind, intelligence and false ego. As he desires, his desires leave imprints on his mind or in his subtle body. According to his desires, his subtle body takes up a shape. And according to that shape of that subtle body, he gets a gross body. As Prabhupada pointed out in the purport, like if someone likes to drink blood, there are people who like to drink blood or like to eat flesh. Then Krishna will fulfill their desire. How? By giving him a tiger's body. And as a tiger, he will get a direct facility to drink blood and eat flesh. But for a tiger, it doesn't come so easily. Although the tiger has the facility to drink blood and eat flesh of other animals, But a tiger has to struggle hard. A tiger actually gets his food rarely once or twice a month. The tiger can't eat every day. That's why when a tiger kills an animal, it keeps it in some place. After killing the animal, it keeps it there, and he comes from time to time and eats it. Say a tiger kills a deer, and then the tiger keeps the animal for and eats it for 7, 8, 9 days. Because he doesn't know when he'll get his next food. And then also, there are other animals that eat what the tiger killed. There are hyenas, there are jackals. These animals, although they are carnivorous, but they cannot kill animals and eat. They have to depend on a tiger's prey, and it will get its supply. So in this way, in nature, there is a big struggle actually. We are thinking that everything comes so easily, but it's not. Everything in this nature, especially the more we go against Krishna, and the more difficult it becomes. Like we see, Krishna doesn't want us to eat meat or drink blood. So to get meat is very, very difficult. But Krishna wants us to eat fruits and vegetables. And that, there is plenty of supply in the nature. If we are vegetarian, then there won't be any scarcity. There is no dearth of vegetables. Although there is a scarcity of animal flesh. Of course, today, nowadays, human society has become so demoniac that they are not depending upon fruits and vegetables and milk. They are actually depending upon the cows and other animals. They are growing the crops, and they are feeding those crops to the animals, the pigs and cows. And then they are eating those animals. So it's a very, very artificial arrangement that the society made today. And as a result of that, there is so many crises all over the world. And ultimately there will be a devastating war. Or there will be some natural calamity which will destroy, which will cause a very massive destruction all over the world. But if people depended upon Krishna's mercy, as the devotees do, then he won't have any problem. Actually, closer we come to the spirit soul, the easier it is to maintain our self. Actually, when we come to our spiritual identity, then everything is supplied immediately. In the spiritual sky, there are chintamanis, there are touchstones, there are kalpa vrikshas, desire trees, and there are surabhi cows. So in the spiritual sky, no one has any scarcity. Whoever wants anything, he'll immediately get it supplied from either the touchstone or kalpa vriksha or surabhi cows. But in the spiritual sky, no one has any desire for sense gratification. So in the spiritual sky, no one actually wants anything for himself. In the spiritual sky, everyone wants everything for Krishna. And whenever one wants anything for Krishna, it's immediately supplied. And the living entities are taken care of by Krishna. As we notice in our day-to-day life in the temple, that we are not actually collecting or accumulating anything for ourselves. We are actually getting everything for Krishna. And Krishna is giving us everything that we need. Krishna was Krishna supplies for his devotees. Krishna takes care of his devotees. Whatever a devotee needs, Krishna immediately supplies. And the devotee doesn't want anything for himself. He simply offers everything to Krishna. Yesterday I mentioned that in the class also, that how for a devotee there is no scarcity. Like, although it seems that a plate of prasad has been offered to Krishna, that plate of prasad actually is Krishna ate that plate with Balaram and thousands of cowherd boys. And then the plate was offered to Srimati Radharani. Then Radharani ate with her friends, Lalita, Vishakha, and all the gopis. And then the plate was taken out of the altar as Mahaprasad. And then this prasad is distributed. And although it is just one plate of prasad, everyone is satisfied. Like, I mentioned that in the class, and Premananda Prabhu came later on and he told me that how that statement has been verified by his practical experience yesterday. He was serving the breakfast to the devotees, and there was granola. There were so many devotees, and he felt that there was not enough granola. Granola?
Granola.
So, but when he sat down to eat after serving everyone, he had so much that he could finish it. So this is how Krishna actually takes care of all of us. If we have faith in Krishna, then Krishna will provide. And a similar kind of incidents also happened during Jesus' time. Followers of Jesus also experienced something like this. There was once so many people came, and Jesus asked whatever bread they had, and he started to distribute. And when there were only a few loaves of bread they had. But Jesus said, okay, he started to feed, he started to distribute. And at the end, everyone was satisfied. Although it was just a few loaves of bread, but he could feed everybody. So we have to understand, Jesus actually offered it to Krishna, and because it became Krishna's prasad, everyone was satisfied. Everyone had enough. So if we become a devotee, that means if we become surrendered to Krishna, then we won't have to worry about anything. And Krishna will provide. But if we don't, then we are in trouble. If we don't surrender to Krishna, that means we are trying to maintain our independence. That means we are desiring outside of Krishna. We are desiring independently. We want things for ourselves. Instead of depending upon Krishna, we are actually trying to depend upon our own ability. We are trying to enjoy this material nature in various ways. So this is the ultimate consideration actually. A devotee is a person who depends only upon Krishna. And a non-devotee is a person who depends upon his own ability. Now, when one depends upon his own ability, he actually becomes bound by this material nature and he suffers various kinds of difficulties. And according to his independence, according to his desire, he gets different types of bodies. If somebody wants to enjoy on his own, then he will have to remain in this material nature, in different types of material bodies. But if one becomes surrendered to Krishna, and if he becomes completely free from his desire, from his independent desire, then Krishna will take care of him. Therefore, Prabhupada actually translated the word devotion in Krishna consciousness. According to Prabhupada, devotional service has been translated as or expressed as Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means tuned up to Krishna's consciousness. We all are conscious beings. We all have our consciousness. Consciousness means the awareness that I am. And that is the meaning of consciousness. Wherever there is a spirit soul, that awareness of his existence is there. And that is his consciousness. Now, as parts and parcels of Krishna, we should actually become Krishna conscious. We should not have any consciousness separate from Krishna. It should be tuned up to Krishna's consciousness. Therefore, a devotee, although he has the awareness, I am, although he has the awareness of his existence, but he knows that he is Krishna's. It is not that a devotee is unconscious. A devotee actually is superconscious. And what is that superconsciousness? The superconsciousness is Krishna consciousness. He knows that I am a servant of Krishna. I am Krishna's. And Krishna is God. So when one develops that awareness, that kind of consciousness, then he becomes free from the material bondage. Then he becomes situated in his spiritual identity. So in this way, the living entities can very easily transcend this material nature and go back to the spiritual sky. And we are here, we must always remember that we are here because of that. We are here to practice, to cultivate Krishna consciousness. That means nothing is mine, everything is Krishna's. Even I am not mine, I am Krishna's. So the cause of material bondage is aham mameti, me and mine. But the way to get rid of this bondage is by realizing that nothing is mine, everything is Krishna's. We can always question that, is this mine? Is this mine? Is this temple mine? No. Who does it belong to? It's Krishna's. Are these devotees in the temple mine? No. They are Krishna's. And ultimately, is this body mine? No. This is Krishna's. So in this way, a devotee gives up, gets rid of his concept, his concept of false ego, misconception of his own self. So for a devotee, there is no aham mameti. For him, everything is Krishna's, and he himself also is Krishna's. He is Krishna's servant. And when we develop this understanding, as I was saying, like, we are here to develop that understanding. Actually, we do not have any other business as a devotee in ISKCON. Our main business is to become a servant of Krishna. And the best way to become a servant of Krishna is by becoming a servant of the devotees. Gopi bhartu pado kamalayo dasho anudasho dasho asmi. One must become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So lower we can go, more service attitude we can develop is better for us. In Krishna consciousness, the sign of advancement is not to become a big devotee. In Krishna consciousness, the sign of advancement is actually to become a small devotee. We are here not to become big, but we are here to become small. What is our spiritual size? What is our spiritual identity? Our spiritual identity is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. So we have to actually try to become so small. And then only we can become Trinadopi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana. Because unless and until we become more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree, we won't be able to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari, the ability to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all the time will be possible only when we become more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. That means only when we become situated in our spiritual identity. So we should always have this understanding that yes, let the new devotees, let the neophyte devotees be puffed up, but the advanced devotees, senior devotees should become humble. On the other hand, if we think that we are big devotees, that's why we should become puffed up, we should become arrogant, no, then it is not a spiritual platform. Then we are not in a spiritual platform. That is material platform. In the material nature, the higher you go, bigger you become. But in the spiritual platform, higher you go, smaller you become. So more advanced, more senior devotee means more humble devotee. And we notice that when we develop that attitude, then we feel so happy and the devotees around us also feel so happy. On the other hand, if we develop a very arrogant attitude, then no one would like to come to us. Everyone will, especially the devotees, will avoid us if we become puffed up. But if we become humble, then the devotees will appreciate our association. And we must remember that we are here, we are in ISKCON, to develop that humble attitude. We have to develop our spiritual attitude of being humble and tolerant. And then our hearts will automatically be filled up with joy. We all are actually trying to enjoy. After all, everybody wants to be joyful. But how we become joyful? We become joyful by being situated on the spiritual platform properly. And when you become situated on the spiritual platform, then we'll see that the Vaishnavas will appreciate us. And when we see that the Vaishnavas are appreciating us, then our hearts automatically melt. Our hearts will melt when the Vaishnavas appreciate us. Because when the Vaishnavas appreciate us, then we directly feel that Krishna is actually appreciating our endeavor. And then our heart melts. We become even more humble. So spiritual sky, the spiritual advancement in spiritual path is dependent upon the mellows, the rasas. Now the rasas are actually liquid. There are five rasas, Shanto, Dasya, Shakho, Vatsala and Madhur. And this rasa, or which has been translated in English as mellow, mellow is actually a liquid. Rasa, the Sanskrit word rasa, is liquid. And as we make spiritual advancement, our heart actually melts into that liquid. And more our heart melts into that liquid, or the more our heart emanates that liquid, the more joy we will experience. The basis of joy are the mellows. And the mellows spring forth from the heart. Or in simple word, it can be said that our heart will melt into that melody. And as devotees, we experience that, how our hearts are melting. When we are karmi, when we are trying to enjoy the material nature, when we are trying to exploit everybody else, then our heart was so hard, isn't it? But by Prabhupada's mercy that we have come to Krishna consciousness, due to our spiritual involvement, our hearts are actually becoming softer and softer. And then ultimately the heart will melt into our love for Krishna. The more we experience that love for Krishna, which is devotion to Krishna. Actually, there is no difference between love for Krishna and devotion to Krishna. Devotion to Krishna is actually our heart's love for Krishna. So when we experience that love for Krishna, then our hearts will melt. Our heart, as a result of that Krishna consciousness or our love for Krishna, our heart will become soft. It will become gradually softer and softer. And then finally, it will just melt. And then all kinds of mellows, transcendental mellows, will start to flow from our heart. And then there will be such abundant flow of that mellow that we will be completely submerged in that ocean of mellow. So this is how Krishna consciousness is very scientific. There is no room for any artificiality. As we develop our love for Krishna, to that extent we will experience the joy. And Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that in this chapter, that the cause of our bondage is our aversion to Krishna, and the cause and the means of our freedom is to develop our love for Krishna. And as we develop our love for Krishna, then our heart will become completely ecstatic with the love due to our love for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? A comment. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
It's only Nesh Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki.
Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.